This is part B of Adultery Never Pays. Now, let's continue on here. Now, let's, if we can, understand something. While the Bible says a lot about women in the book of Proverbs and so forth, please understand that most of the rest of the Bible is directed to men. So please don't forget that. And also, adultery takes two. But in a case of seductive women, men are the weaker in resistance. So this is why it brings it out. This is not to pick on women, but I think we need to ask the question, since men relinquished what they should be doing to too many women, and women's lib has reached the point that it has today, how much better off is our nation really, morally speaking? And the blame falls where? On the men who relinquished what they should be doing as men and husbands. So we need to understand that. So let's finish here, and then we'll get to, before we finish, we'll get to a virtuous woman. And there are a lot of virtuous women in the world. And if it weren't for the virtuous women in the world, we would really be a very evil place beyond description. All right, let's continue here. Verse 28. Can one walk upon, Proverbs 6, verse 28. Can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? See, you can't, you know, and I'm sorry that, but just seeing all of that released just before the Sabbath, all this news about all this evil nonsense going on with John Edwards and the whole society, you see. At the same time, all of this was being reported. What do you have? You have pornography you can purchase online, free pornography you can get online, free pedophilia stuff you can get online, free homosexual and lesbian things you can get online. And all of that is to blame for the courts, mostly all men, and the government and those who pass the laws, mostly all men. But we are talking about here the seductive woman. Now, what should happen when something like that comes along is to resist. Say no, go away. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, flee fornication, which is sexual immorality. Flee it. Get away from it. Okay, now let's continue on, verse 29. So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. So there's blame toward the men. So we need to understand the real profound significance of the morality of women in relationship to the morality of the society. That's what we need to grasp in this as well. Verse 30, they do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Yet if he is found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all his goods, all the goods of his house. But whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Now that's directed to whom? A man. He who does it destroys his own soul. So when you watch the news, we're reading it right here. He shall get a wound and dishonor, and his shame shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare him the day of vengeance. He will not accept any recompense, nor will he be willing, even if you multiply the gifts to him. So that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. We have it over here. You can read chapter 7, the same thing, talking about the same thing. Come over here to chapter 3. Here's how, even in a carnal world, to avoid a lot of these things. It's also interesting to note that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is called she, which then is reflective of a virtuous woman. Okay, chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. So you see, here we have a combination of what we covered earlier about the fifth commandment, honoring your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land. All right. When you then become responsible for your own decisions, which comes at various ages of maturity, you have to remember God's laws, because that's the thing that's going to guide you. Don't rely on your own thoughts, because you're going to lie to yourself. You look back and think of all of the troubles and difficulties you got into when you were growing up, and what happened? You lied to yourself. Especially if you did things which were really grievous and you knew you shouldn't do them. Verse 3, do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart, and so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding, because your own understanding is going to get you in trouble. Well, I think, my opinion is, let's have open discussion, and we will agree to disagree. And I saw Whoopi Goldberg explaining that on some program, where I like to sit down with other people with other beliefs, and we exchange back and forth, and I don't necessarily believe what they have to believe, and they don't believe what I believe, but we still depart as good friends. See? All of that is futile and vain. What you need to do is understand the truth. See? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. And isn't it true? Every time you lean to your own understanding and you make a big whopper of a mistake, what's happened? Well, you haven't relied on God. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase, and your barns shall be full with plenty, and your presses shall burn with new wine. Self-instructing. God gives you the whole earth and everything there is, and then there are some people who say, well, we don't need to tithe. We don't need to give to God. Okay, let's go on. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. It's the whole purpose in life. We're to continually grow in understanding and wisdom and knowledge and truth, and it all comes based on the Word of God. See, with the Bible, we have the greatest book in the world, because it tells us about things before the creation of the world, and it tells us about the ages of eternity going on out into the completion of the plan of God and everything else in between. For the merchandise of it is better than the gain from silver, and its produce more than the gain from fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. So here we have wisdom, she, and that ties into a virtuous woman, as we'll cover here in a little bit. And all things that you can desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone who holds her fast. The Lord has founded the earth by wisdom. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Make right choices all the time. If in doubt, think about it. Pray about it. And they shall be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you shall walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, when you lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the destroying of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence, and shall keep your foot from being taken. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power of your hand to do it. And all the way down through here, showing the right way, the good way, the way of God, all the way through, and how that works and the way it works. Now, let's come over here to chapter 4. This also has quite a bit involved with wisdom and understanding and things like this. And also, when we read through this, we're going to see that part of the problems that take place, which are when you go into sin and you become obsessed with it. This is also what it's talking about. So let's read it here, chapter 4. O children, hear the instruction of a father and be attentive in order to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. Now especially remember that concerning God's laws. For I will give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding, forget it not, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Now that's especially true of the Bible. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she shall preserve you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you honor when you embrace her. So this is like the virtuous woman, the one who has wisdom, the one who keeps God's commandments, the one who knows what is true. She shall place upon your head a garland of grace. She shall bestow upon you a crown of glory. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Now, what we are doing, we are reading here a proverb of King David to King Solomon. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you go, your step shall not be hampered, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now here are some warnings. Enter not into the path of the wicked. So in order to do that, you need to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And you have to make the choices. And you look back at a situation like we're examining here in the news, how many choices were there? How many choices were there to not get involved? How many times before the event, the first event took place? Enter not into the path of the wicked, and do not go into the way of evil men. Avoid it. See, and Satan's way is this. Satan's way is, well, you will get a benefit if you sin. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. If you go against God, you'll get a benefit. No, you won't. No, you won't. Here's the only way around it. Verse 15, avoid it. Do not go in it. Turn from it and pass on. For they do not sleep except when they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For when they eat the bread of wickedness and for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light and that shines more and more to the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they do not know at what they stumble. And life comes upon them, and they don't have a clue. So he says, my son, this is David talking to Solomon. And I often wonder about Solomon. He wrote the Proverbs that his dad gave him. He wrote his own Proverbs. And then you read the history of his life. And the very thing that he was warned against over and over again, from which he was also the product of that, right? Was not Solomon the product of David's lust and Bathsheba's lust? Yes. So here was a living example now being taught by his father. And yet, look what happened to him. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Because a lot of the things, a lot of the diseases that are coming upon people who are getting into the older age bracket now, they go right back to their sexual morality and also their drug habits and their eating habits and everything, all catching up with them now. Here's the key thing, verse 23. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. Especially today, with all the media and everything you can be bombarded with. What you see, what you hear, what you read. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a wicked mouth and devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand, nor to the left hand. Remove your foot from evil. So this is the counsel that ought to be given to everyone who enters into public service. Comment was made to the similarities between Solomon and his escapades, and Edwards and his escapades. Here Solomon wrote about it and said, we're not going to be there, go there. And ostensibly, publicly, that's what Edwards said. That's why he won Father of the Year in 2007. Now look at him. Ignominy, sin, rejection, dishonor. And it isn't over yet. It's just starting, really. So, yeah, there are parallels between the public person of John Edwards and the public person of King Solomon, preaching one thing, doing another. And if there's any one thing that God hates, is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And when you're hypocritical, you know you are. Because you're deliberately saying one thing to cover up another thing. And that's what becomes so damnable. And when it happens within a church, that's thousands of times worse than happening in a political party. Now let's come to Proverbs 31. And let's talk about a virtuous woman. Though I have a very virtuous woman who gives me good advice and counsel. And she just added sometimes threats. Good threats. Warnings. Yes. Because there are many virtuous women, and when you understand it, I think, because there are a lot of virtuous women, God's heavy hand is not coming down as hard yet. Verse 10, Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her value is far above rubies. In other words, there's no way you can put any monetary value upon it. Because we're dealing with righteousness and truth and virtue, counsel. And also, hold your place here in Proverbs 31. Let's come back here to Genesis, the second chapter. Because what she is doing is fulfilling the very purpose of her creation, because it's not good that a man be alone. Why is it not good that man be alone? Because he'll do stupid things, among other things. Okay. Genesis 2 and verse 18, page 121. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helper compatible for him. Now, you see a little star there in the New Bible, and you come down to the lower part of the reference column where the star is for verse 18, and it reads, a counterpart, a sustainer beside him. And that's what Proverbs 31 does. A virtuous woman is that way. See, Eve should have said to the serpent, no, I don't know why you're here and telling me this, and I'm going to report you to my husband. Would not the world have been in a different place? See? So the truth is, whenever anyone, man or woman, young or old, do not follow what God wants them to do, then there are going to be problems. All right, now back here to Proverbs 31. So we will see right here, the rest of what it is describing a sustainer standing beside him. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts safely in her, so that he shall have no lack of gain. She's going to help increase and make blessings. She will do good for him and not evil all the days of her life. Which means what? He will have no cause to commit adultery, and she will have no cause to commit adultery, right? Yes. Among other things. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and a portion to her young maidens. Working, you see, the main thing that needs to be the central part of any society is what? The family. And the family cannot function without the wife and mother who does the things that only wives and mothers can do the way they can do them. And it's true. That's just the way it is. Because that's the way God created it. Today it's too many are reversed. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later here. we'll get into it, you see. But I can tell you this. I don't know how Dolores does it, but she buys some of the best things for the lowest price that I have ever heard of. I do not try and go shopping with her because she looks and snoops and so forth, and I get department store narcolepsy, and I'm ready to go to sleep instantly. Matter of fact, when I go into the department store with her, we have a truce. Because when I get in there, all of the smells give me a headache, and I need to get out of there and go to the car and wait for her. But she goes and she plows through and knows where to look, and she can, I tell you not, she can find $200 items for 15 bucks. I've seen it over and over and over again, and I tease her and I say, you must have a shopping angel with you to lead you to some of these things. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. That shows she has wisdom and judgment and a sense of value, right? Yes. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She binds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong. She sees that her merchandise is good. In other words, she's working, she's producing, she is making things, and she's also selling things. So this encompasses a lot, doesn't it? Her lamp does not go out by night. She's the first up and last to bed. She lays her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, and all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, they are clothed in the best clothes possible for their circumstances. So here she is active. Doing things. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is silk and purple. That's pretty expensive stuff, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And they know that she is a virtuous wife, virtuous woman. She makes fine linen and sells it. Delivers girdles to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Now, verse 26, here is why. That's why the proverb says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It's because God will bless that. Not the way it is today. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Well, today, the roles are reversed in too many cases. They won't work. They won't take care of the house. And the end result is what you see in the society today. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. There you go. Now, we have two books named after women, don't we? Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. And did they play important parts? Yes, they did. But still, never removed from being the sustainer or a virtuous woman. That's why the man is to be the provider. That's why he is the one to be the worker and to build and produce and to make. And the woman is to be the sustainer and the helper. Now let's come here to Isaiah, the third chapter. And let's see again how Isaiah was inspired to write what God told him to write. Isaiah chapter 3, page 505. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. We need to understand something, too. With today's terrorist potentials and the enemy already established within, they can cut off food delivery and food supply in such a short time that we will face famine within minimum weeks, some cases days. All you have to do is just have gangs blow up the railroad, you know, the whole rail system in America. It comes by rail and it comes by truck. So all you have to do, blow up key bridges, blow up key rail junctions, and nothing's going to get here. So it can come. Verse 2, the man of might, the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the ancient, the captains of 50, the honorable men and the advisor and the cunning charmer and the skillful enchanter. None of them are going to be able to stop it. What God is saying here when he comes to the correction and the reason for the correction, and when it comes, there's going to be no man to turn it back. That's why you look at the political landscape in America and other countries today, there's virtually nothing that can be done to make a dramatic, righteous change within the circumstances. Now here's what we get. Verse 4. And I will give young lads to be their princes, and capricious children shall rule over them. Isn't that what we have today? And the people shall be crushed, every man by another, every man by his neighbor. The young shall rise up against the old, the base against the honorable. And it's going to get so bad and so desperate. Now, as I read this, I want you to think not only of America, not only of Europe, but I want you to take a world view. Look at the rulers in Africa. Look at the rulers in Asia. Look at the rulers in South America. Look at them in the United States and Canada and Mexico and everything, see? Because God uses the same judgment on all nations, doesn't he? Verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother of his father's house, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. Well, there's going to come to the point that they won't know who to elect, who to appoint. In that day he shall swear, saying, I will not be a healer. There is no bread nor cloak in my house. You shall not make me a ruler of people. No one's going to want to rule. For Jerusalem is staggering. Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. So here's a perfect example of what I said time and time again. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. Verse 9, the look of their faces witnesses against them. They declare their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. And that's what we see, all the gay rights things. And what a pity, what a pity. I know I was talking with someone the other day. What a pity. They start teaching homosexuality beginning in kindergarten. And they want gay rights, so-called, and they're the most miserable people in the world, above everything else. For they have rewarded evil to themselves. What you choose, and if everything is supposed to be so good about those lifestyles, why do you need legal protection? Should not your good conduct be good enough to keep you in good stead? No, because your ways and your practices are evil. Now here's a promise. So right in the middle of this, this is just like Jesus does in the New Testament. He who has ears, let him hear. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Because you love God, keep his commandments, obey him, you're going to be watched over and protected. Woe to the wicked, for the evil doing of his hand will be given to him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the path, or destroy the way of your paths. That includes all the prophets, all the priests, all the presidents, all the senators, all the congressmen, all the governors. They're all involved to one degree or another. But it starts, as you read in other places, with those who are supposed to bring morality, the prophets and the religious leaders. The Lord stands up to plead his cause and stands to judge his people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and their kings, for you have eaten up the vineyard, and the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean? You crush my people and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord, God of hosts. Now, come over here to chapter 1. Let's see how God also wants repentance. And this is why you can never figure out exactly when Christ is going to return, because God always honors repentance. Even if it is repentance that is not genuine unto salvation, but repentance even in the letter of the law. Now, Isaiah 1 and verse 2. How serious is this? Here it is right here. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The whole purpose of God's creation. For the Lord has spoken, I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me in every way. Yet their minds lie to them, and they think they're doing good. And they're set on their own course and their own path, and they're going to do what they want to do. But God says, the ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Well, they want to get rid of God, get rid of the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments is what this nation needs more than anything else right now. Ah, sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Good description. There are so many problems in the world. How are you going to solve them? How are you going to solve them? Every so-called solution leads to more problems, doesn't it? That's why the kingdom of God has to return. Your country is a desolation. Your cities are burned with fire. That has happened in the past. It's going to happen again. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence, and it is wasted as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a garden of cucumbers, like a besieged city. Now there is hope, and God talks about that hope, and that resides with the people of God. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. Those are God's people. We would have been as Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah. Then he talks about, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. But do you think we can get that in? No, no one can get it in. What is the purpose, he talks about, of all of their religious things, of sacrifices and burnt offerings, and they come and appear before God and so forth. He said, I cannot endure it any longer, even your solemn assemblies. Oh, verse 15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Here's the only solution. And this has to be a nationwide thing. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Now that happened one time in the history of the kings of Judah with Josiah. And that only lasted for 12 years. Now the way it is here in America, I don't think you're going to see very much of that going on. Okay. Learn to do good, seek judgment, so forth. Come now, verse 18, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Based upon the heavens and the earth. So when we look out and see all these things going on, and we look at the political scene, and we see these things taking place, it's going to take the return of Christ to straighten it out. Nothing else is going to do it. You can't vote in someone, you can't vote out someone, you can't have this reform or that reform, because it's just like whitewashing. It won't work. So that's why we're here. We're called to help solve the problems. And we will have the power, we will have the ability, and we will have Christ enforcing everything, and we will all work together to bring this world the kingdom of God. So I'm running out of time, so we'll say goodbye for now. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.